Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What you want to read on holiday, like, was absorbed in
it's
it.
A navy blazer, yeah, but it's so much more.
Yeah, I'll send you the recipe.
That sounds so good.
And I would say yes, I did know pretty quickly.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's amazing.
You're listening to the Sherlock's podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team Podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Lou Huff, Tor West, and Sherry Andrews. Sherry, first time on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Sherry is our junior writer on the editorial team. I don't know why it's taken so long to rope you into a podcast, but here you are.
I'm not sure why, but you know what? Better late than never.
Exactly. We were just chatting about food, lunches, dinners.
How hungry we all are because it's Monday.
3 o'clock on a Monday.
And you had a really good lunch.
I did have a really good lunch. So I made a Jamie Oliver minestrone soup recipe because I wanted last night something really healthy. I just, you know, when you just need to like throw all the veg at your immune system. So I did that. And then I just added, then to balance it out, I added like a half a pack of Orzo. Orzo really expands.
I thought I didn't add that much.
It's like risotto rice. It's suddenly, anyway, so it was more like an Orzo stew.
But minestrone is meant to have some form of pasta in it. Isn't it normally like a macaroni?
Like a macaroni. Yeah. But I only had spaghetti and I thought that was a bit weird. Minestrone.
Although you can, I've done that and break it and then it's like little strips of it.
Orzo was better because then it became like a thick Orzo, like a stew.
It was actually earlier on our desk, we were talking about dal, and because there was dal in today's email.
I thought it looked delicious, the dal.
Yeah, and we were all saying how much that dal is one of our like go-tos.
Really?
I've never had a dal. Do you know the Hemsley books?
No. It's a really good vegan dish as well.
There's one I'll send you. I used the recipe online. It's so quick, so easy, and it makes like a shit ton. And I often like just freeze a bunch of it as well.
Okay. Sorry, what's in it roughly?
So you chop up quite a lot of just white onions, loads of garlic, loads of ginger, and then you just sweat that off with some coconut oil and loads of turmeric and a bit of chili powder, chuck in some red lentils, and then it's chicken stock or any stock you want, or water, and of coconut milk.
Oh, that's unreal.
So there's minutes. No veg in it?
No, you can. Sometimes I sometimes roast a butternut squash and stir it in at the end. But you can do have anything.
Curries is really something I like haven't tried cooking at all. I think when I was at uni, I used to cook a Thai red curry snooze.
No, not snooze.
Like that was like, it was like
from a pack.
No. Like we'd make it from scratch. I think it was just one of those things I just associate with like uni.
That's what I'm like with stir fried veg.
Too much.
Stir fried veg is such uni food. I can't even look at one of those packets.
True. I actually had that today for lunch.
Oh,
I was
going
to say, I feel like a proper student again.
It was those mixed bags from Sainsbury's that, and we used to roast duck. How weirdly fancy is that? We used to get but you could get like hoisin duck.
You're bougie.
From Sainsbury's. I know, with like a rat, you know, it was like this big, you know, tiny, tiny little duck leg with some, but even that taste of like thick hoisin is just like,
No, but I think anything with a tin of coconut milk, you can do so much curry wise.
Interesting.
Yeah, the turmeric, it just stains everything.
Yeah,
so it does taste good.
So good.
I once went to Thailand and we were staying in like off the Koh San Road and it was in this like rank accommodation and we were like above a kitchen, and I remember all I could smell was turmeric, like so strongly. I
just sleep. Honestly,
I haven't really been able to have turmeric since. It took me a really long time. I remember I was like sleeping underneath the cover, like squeezing my nose.
It was so bad.
So I've got bad associations with turmeric.
Oh, no. I totally get that.
Gross. Maybe leave the turmeric out, but the rest of the ingredients can go in.
Yeah. Sherry, what do you cook more often than not? What's your go-to?
Go-to probably is like a pasta or curry, but it depends. If I have friends coming round, like my friend came around at the weekend, and I made her like some bruschetta, however you want to say it, and we had some sea bass, and it was actually, this is quite random, really fancy, this is not an everyday meal, but I actually cooked it in a banana leaf.
Oh wow.
I know,
your house was rocking.
I know, because we've just moved, so I thought you know, my best friend's coming around, we cook a really lovely dinner, and you just buy them from like a Chinese supermarket. They're really cheap, and you just like pan fry it with a bit of water so it steams, and it comes out like perfectly cooked fish.
Oh my god! I've got some sea bass in my freezer. I've got two sea bass in my freezer. What do you do with the whole fish?
Yeah. Keep the skin on, and you can put like spices in there, and it all infuses.
And what does that like actually do like to the flavor, or is it just like something fancy to make it?
It seals it all in, right?
Yeah, I think it seals it in, and it gives it almost kind of like a smoky flavor. It was really different. Very interesting.
I guess it's like a natural way of cooking with tinfoil. But now, nicer.
Yes. And you shouldn't put tinfoil in a pan for those, isn't it?
Oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that. Sounds delicious. What's your go-to curry? What do you make?
You know what? Always a dal, to be fair.
Yeah.
Or I think I just throw like all the spices in and hope for the best. And sometimes it works, sometimes not so much. But
yeah,
I feel like you had a bit of a mix of spice. You can't really go wrong.
I agree. So there's a really good one I do in my one tray. It's basically either a Thai green or whatever kind of paste you have, but you do it in the one tray instead of doing it on the hob, and that is delicious.
Oh, that's nice.
What do you think your most cooked meal is, Tor?
A dal is definitely up there. Every Monday I have salmon. Every Monday.
Laura has salmon Mondays as well.
Yeah, every Monday. Yeah. Tonight I have it with dal, but usually it's like some sweet potatoes and some like roasted broccoli.
Okay. And can I ask, does Tim eat what he's given? Like, do you set the menu and he just sits down and he eats? Yeah. Ben's quite difficult.
He's really good. But Ben does a lot more exercise.
He does.
So Tim is like, Ben is probably more like particular.
Attuned. So you're the only one that cooks?
Tim will cook on the weekend.
Okay.
He's really into the barbecue. He'll barbecue on like Christmas Day.
Okay. Yeah, that's nice.
And he's
nice.
Really good. He's really good. But yeah, in the week I do.
Okay. When we bought a big green egg, Ben assured me he would be like that. But I think it's been used like twice.
It takes time.
What's your most cooked meal?
I don't know. I go through phases, like we were saying before. So I will rinse something for a really long time. I used to make risotto, all the time.
Yeah. Same. Mm-hmm. I haven't made risotto for like a year.
Risotto was like quite an indulgent dinner. It's like half a block of cheese.
It also takes a long, like to make it one, takes a long time to cook.
And you have to stand there.
Yeah. Yes.
Stir.
Yeah. Like just throwing something in and going and then coming back.
We were having this conversation yesterday, actually, that like we both really enjoy like cooking and like making a new meal, but especially like now it's getting darker, I don't want to get home at like 8, then spend an hour cooking to then like eat at 9.
So I resolved today, because we bought a piece of fish at the farmer's market yesterday, and I was like, day last week, whatever. I left the office at 7 or 7:30, and then I get home and lost the just cook. So I said to myself that today I'm going to leave at 6, I'm going to go home, cook a proper dinner, and then I can go back online later. I'm basically going to be like a working mother, but for dinner, not for kids.
That's a good idea.
Otherwise, I need to eat properly.
Yeah. So and I think you have to be really strict with yourself. It's really good.
So that's my plan.
I'll leave with you at 6.
Okay, let's do it. What else is going on? I feel like, Tor, I haven't seen you for ages. Where were you? You were off for a while.
I was off for about 10 days.
What did you do?
We moved house. Well, I know. I know I've said, but we left the flat.
Okay.
Yeah, we're renting out the flat.
Okay.
We're renting out the flat.
Flat
so
is
you're
no longer
fully country.
Fully country. And I think initially I was like, I love the idea of like, we'll spend the weekdays in London and the weekend in the country. Yeah. But literally having to pack a bag, like logistics are no fun, and financially it really wasn't happening. So
So what is your commute like?
It's okay.
Yeah,
like it's one train. Well, apart from going to Clapham Junction, it's one train to Clapham Junction.
Okay.
And that's like 45-50 minutes.
Yeah,
it's like an hour and 15 door to door.
Okay.
Hour and 20.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
I feel like if you were like North East London, that would take the same amount of time.
It takes me nearly that amount of time.
Yeah, and the train is because we're kind of almost at the end of the line. I always get a seat. And I just work or read. It's lovely. And then on the way home, I really switch off. Like before, I would just jump on the tube and get out of Stockwell, and I'm still like absolutely buzzing.
Yeah.
Whereas now I get home and I'm really quite relaxed.
So, and can you walk to the station as you drive?
I can, but I drive. It's like a 25-minute walk or like a 4-minute drive. But it's just, you know, the parking's like £6. Ticket's like £22.
Yeah,
that's expensive.
But it's, you know, there's pros and cons.
Yeah, exactly. So cost of living cheaper.
So the flat's done, and we were just, it's like incredible how much crap one accumulates. Yeah. I'm sure you know.
Oh my gosh,
you haven't just moved.
Yes,
it's unbelievable. Like I think lockdown as well, we were kind of hoarded a bit. Perhaps
even today we just did a desk move, and I don't know, something of mine ended up in Georgie's office, and she handed it back to me. It was from 2017.
Oh my god,
why do I still have really? That here? Yes, I've been hoarding things in every corner of the office.
I'm
it turns
quite
out.
A like secret hoarder. Like I keep like birthday cards from like 2011.
I'm ruthless with birthday cards. I chuck them.
Really?
All of them. I know.
Even if someone wrote you a really nice note.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just throw.
I keep them.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, not that I'm ever, like, literally my husband is like, can we get rid of this? Can we get rid of this? And I, occasionally I'll go through a phase and I'll be like, yeah, sure. And then he'll be like, yes. But then I'll find something else sentimental and I'm like, oh no, keep that. And he's like, when will you ever use that? I'm like, I don't know, but you know, I like to have an option.
Mm. That's okay. What I'm like with clothes. Mm. I get stressed about not having options.
Yeah, totally.
Sherry, you just moved. Where from? Where to?
So, it's literally down the road.
Okay,
so
that's all right.
It was a very speedy move.
Okay.
Living in Tells Hill, staying in Tells Hill. It was really quick, although our removal men cancelled on the night.
No.
Yeah, which was super stressful.
That's awful.
Yeah, it just wasn't ideal. We were all packed, ready to go. Literally every single thing was packed.
Had you paid them already?
No, we hadn't paid them. Mm. My friend, I think she found it on Gumtree. It was very last minute, which is why they probably cancelled.
Yeah, I suspect.
Yeah, that's why. But then, thank goodness, my sister managed to get us a different driver the next day.
Okay.
So it was all fine. But,
and you were the same people? You're just all moving to a different house?
No, there were three of us and there's two of us. Nice. Our other friend is doing her own thing, which is really nice. Still really good friends, mm-hmm. but just different living situations now, which is really exciting.
But like you need to, the older you get, the more you need to shed numbers as well. Like it's quite civilized living just two of you.
Yeah, and she's like my best friend of like 20 something years. Yeah, so like she's more like my sister. We get on. It's very, very relaxed. So yeah, it's really nice vibe.
So nice and a nice new place.
Yeah, really nice. It's really bright and it's so quiet.
Oh, lovely.
Which dreamy. Is the best.
Yeah,
really, really nice.
Essential. You've been in Switzerland.
Yeah, I went to Switzerland for the weekend.
How chic.
Yeah, it was really fun. We went to go and visit my brother who lives out there and my niece who I haven't seen since last December.
How old is she?
She was two in the summer. Mm. And we were meant to go out to Italy with them on a family holiday in the summer. But because of COVID restrictions, we weren't able to go, which was gutted. So I feel like I haven't had like proper time with her since last summer when we celebrated her first birthday. So it was just so magical to see her. And I've probably only met her like 4 or 5 times. But I was saying to Charlotte earlier, the love that I felt for her was just like unfathomable. Like I could literally just stare at her all day.
So sweet.
Yeah, and just like watching my brother with her was so sweet. And I thought she also wouldn't know who, I don't know, be that familiar with us. And we've obviously like FaceTimed loads over the last year. But she like ran straight into my room on Saturday morning. We had lots of duddles. And
really sweet.
So yeah, really lovely. And Switzerland is just, I don't know if you guys
have been
there.
Whereabouts were you?
So they live about 15-20 minutes from Geneva, in a little village. My brother works in Geneva, so it's really easy for him to kind of get into the town, like, you know, a hustle bustle of a proper city.
But yeah,
but then they live in this like really beautiful little remote village. Mm. And Switzerland is so like clean,
so nice,
and efficient.
Yeah.
And it's like quite old-fashioned, but in like a, I don't know, like a really unique way.
So nice.
Yeah, well, like we went to the park on Saturday. It was just, everything was
immaculate.
Yeah. And like, you know, in the UK, there would be graffiti and rubbish everywhere. Mm. And you'd be like, you'd want your child to like sanitize their hands after touching anything. Where it's just like, oh, so fresh.
Oh, that's so nice.
What a nice little weekend escape.
So nice.
Yeah. It's just really nice. Like I've actually been abroad, I think 3 times in the last like 6 weeks, which feels very indulgent, but it just, it's so nice for it to be so easy.
Mm. I'm a bit so done with all the paperwork, I have to say. Yeah. I mean, I'm running for a few days last week. It's so boring. It's such a ball ache.
I can't.
So much fat. Mm-hmm. And it's easy enough once you've done it all. There's a lot of admin involved with going away now.
That's true.
And you've been away?
I have. We were in Rome last week for a wedding, a flying visit. We flew in. The wedding was Wednesday afternoon, so we flew in Wednesday morning.
It looked insane.
It was so
the calibre of weddings that you go to are just absolutely next level.
I think Jews throw the kitchen sink at weddings. It was really beautiful. It was a bit different because it was like, I'd say it was 95% young people, by young people I mean our age. Yeah, which was a bit different, but made it a really fun party vibe. And it was just stunning. They got married at a venue called Villa Miani, which if you look at it on Instagram, like, oh my God, some of the things that people do to this space, like it's unreal. It's like a hilltop kind of above Rome. So it's like a big terrace and you can see like the Vatican and everything. It's super beautiful.
Yeah,
you don't even really need to, they didn't do a huge amount to the space, which was perfect. It was just stunning. So yeah, it was lovely. And it was the end of wedding season for us. So
how many weddings have you had this year?
Not that many. We've had 5, but they've all been like Really they've close. Been since tours was the first in mid-July.
Yeah.
And this was like, so five in the space of like, I don't know, 15 weeks or 12 weeks or something. So okay. It's felt like quite a lot.
Quite packed in. Mm-hmm.
Quite concentrated. Yeah. And actually three of them were from the same crowd as well. Okay. Like some of Ben's mm-hmm. closest friends. So it's just been a lot of time with these people. But that's been so much fun.
So that was all the same. So it wasn't like a new group.
No. It was the same crowd as the last two that we've had. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's three in one crowd in the last 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's felt quite intense, but in a really fun way.
And you wore the most amazing needle and thread gown.
I did. I've got to say a huge thank you to the girls at Needle and Thread who saved my ass because I rented a dress which looked so awful on me on the week before. So yeah, it had arrived and I had not been very organized. I rented a dress. It looked awful. You can return dresses on some of the rental sites, which is great. So I didn't lose any money, but yeah, needed a dress with haste. So yeah, Needle and Thread very kindly lent me an incredible dress. And actually, it's the second time I've worn Needle and Thread. If you have a black tie wedding to dress for, you cannot beat them. Yeah. Like it's just a default. It is so easy. It's so obvious, but like for such a reason, I've been so thrilled and actually had so many compliments on both dresses. And people haven't known. Needle and Thread has a very distinct style.
Yeah.
But actually, maybe that's just because we're so exposed to it all the time. But people haven't seemed to know where either of those dresses have been from as well. So yeah, I was thrilled.
And you wore black. I would say that's like unheard of for a British.
Oh, interesting.
Is that because it was black tie, perhaps?
Yeah, it's really normal to wear a black dress to a black tie wedding. Yeah. Actually, quite a few of my friends wore black, and actually the entire bridal party wore black. So mother of the bride and the bridesmaids. I'll show you a photo. Actually, it looked really amazing, all of them in black.
Stylish, that's for sure.
Sense for black tie. I think, probably, I haven't actually been to a black tie wedding. Just looks so glam.
Yeah,
so
it's really, and also it's a lot easier. Like I would struggle.
Oh yeah.
It's totally. Actually the only time I've worn black, but especially in the winter months, I think I'd struggle to not wear black.
Yeah, I think when you take out white and black, and for me as someone who like will not wear colour, I'm like, oh my God, my palette is like really, there's not much to pick from.
And actually navy is quite difficult to make black tie.
Yeah.
Like obviously there are variations, but it's just blue is a bit harder. So yeah. I think you kind of need black in the...
Yeah, I've got my last wedding of the year on Saturday.
It's a good one. Have you found anything to wear yet?
No, I have been...
What, tell us about the wedding.
I have been so behind on... I just, like earlier in the summer, I was like, oh, it's in October. It's ages away. And even September, I was like, October, ages. And now it's on Saturday and I'm...
Why do you say it's a special one?
Oh, it's just a really, it sounds like a fun one.
Yeah, it's one of my really old school friends, and my friends whose wedding it is, his family are like really renowned for amazing parties and hosting incredible events. So I just feel like it's going to be really fun.
Epic.
And yeah, it's
in London?
It's in London. Yeah, easy. Great that it's in London. Really easy.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's like all my old school friends. So it's going to be really
so
fun.
So fun.
You're going to buy something?
I think I'm going to rent. I've got a long wish list of saves on a few rental sites. So I just need to go through that tonight and work it out.
Okay.
I'm going to do like, I've booked my hair and I'll do a tan. And I kind of feel like if I've got those things done, I'll feel okay.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Have you got any left? You must have loads to come, right?
I was going to say, I haven't been to a single wedding this year.
Oh.
In fact, I don't think I've been to a wedding in about 3 or 4 years.
Your friends haven't started getting married yet?
No.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited, though. I love a wedding. Yeah. For me, the best things about life are weddings and holidays. So, like,
someone
getting married abroad, that's like, oh.
Gold dust.
Exactly.
Because the thing is, like I was saying to somebody yesterday, that actually not only am I done for the season, I've only got so many friends left
that aren't married.
Like the more you tick off, the less you have to attend.
I think I've probably got like three more to come.
On the topic of weddings, one of the ones I have next year, I was invited to a hen do on the weekend for, and I'm close to her and I'm touched to be asked. But this whole like post-COVID world, I thought we kind of all learnt to like be more simple, not have like flashy hen do's. And it's a weekend in Mallorca and they said it was going to cost £400. And we all know it will be £600 by the time you've like got to the airport, had a tan and bought a dress and all the outfits and blah, 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 blah. And I didn't really know what to say. I was quite shocked.
I think there's like two camps. You're either in the, let's just like really take this down a notch and do something really simple because it doesn't really matter, and then there's other people who like, we've been fucking locked up for so long and I want to do this, let's just throw everything at it and go wild.
That's why I was like, do I sound like I'm being a bitch and being like a massive Scrooge?
No,
because it's not about the I could spend that if I wanted to, but it's just the principle of it.
I know someone who 2 weeks ago was supposed to have his stag. It was £1,200 for the stag. I know. He got COVID the week before. Luckily, they hadn't paid yet because it was a surprise stag. But imagine if they, and so he got COVID, they had to cancel it. Imagine if they paid for that. Like, I just still think we're in a world where everything's a little bit uncertain and things could change at any minute. So I mean, I wouldn't be planning an abroad. I've said this on podcasts before, I wouldn't be planning an abroad wedding now. If you know, I wouldn't be putting money into an abroad wedding if I hadn't already.
And funny, I was talking to Tim about it, and Tim was like, it's so funny, like, for a stag do, he was like, I wouldn't even like bat an eyelid. He'd be like, guys, like, just drop the cash.
It's so different, isn't it?
But why do girls just feel so differently about it?
And also, £400 is like a reasonable stag, which is crazy.
But I do think you can be honest about it, because I think everyone has their own budgets that they're willing to work with. It's nothing to do with you not being a good friend or wanting to be there to celebrate. But I just think, like, we're grown-ups now. You can just say, exactly. I'm sorry. I said,
thank you so much for thinking of me. You know, planning to do a honeymoon next year. So every penny kind of counts at the moment. If you do something in the UK with plans change, let me know.
Yeah.
Totally fair.
Perfect. Totally fair.
And the amount of people who I know that have fallen out over like hen do's or stag do's, it's really bad. It's not that deep, you know. It should be fun. You should be like losing friendships over it.
So true. You should be, you should be an adult. Like, we're all adults and we should understand everyone and appreciate everyone.
I think it is awkward, like, in a group where some people are willing to spend a certain amount and other people really aren't, and then you feel like you're being the Debbie Downer or like you're being tight by not being open to pay that. And I don't know, that is difficult. Like, everyone's earned different amount of money.
But also the thing is, like, you sort of prioritize, like, if it's a best friend's hen, like, realistically, you want to go, so you're happy to spend the money on that thing. Whereas if you, you know, it's, you only don't really want to spend the money if you really don't, you know, unless we're talking, you know, £1,200, you only really don't want to spend it if you don't really want to go on the hen.
I think there probably is some people that still can't afford that, whether it's their best friend or not. Like, I don't know.
True, they add up. They add up.
Expensive.
I've got no hens. I'll have two next year.
I really don't like a hen.
No, I've ducked out of all hens this year. I now
have no hens. I've got on Sunday, I'm hosting my sister's baby shower, which is very exciting.
That's much more civilised. I'll start attending baby showers instead.
Yeah, exactly. Very civilised.
That's so lovely. What are you doing? What have you got planned?
We're doing a really small lunch party at my mum's house.
Oh, lovely.
And mum's basically going to host, so it's ideal.
Perfect.
Nice. Got some like nice games and some nice decorations and some nice balloons and...
Like baby games?
Yeah, baby games.
Does she know what she's having?
Aww. She doesn't. Oh, she doesn't. She
rate people.
She showed me a little picture earlier. She's washing
the control
her baby
to not find out.
It blows my mind how people can just wait 9 months and not find out.
No, I couldn't.
But I reckon you get to a point where you kind of forget you don't know and you're just so happy and so excited.
I guess it's if you really don't care, whereas I know I would care what I was having.
What, do you want a girl?
Obviously. Like, I've got a friend who just had a girl and she's pregnant with her second one, and now she's like, I don't care what the second one is, I'm not finding out because I've got my girl. Yeah. And I think I would feel like that as well. I would want, if I had to choose, I'd want all girls over all boys. So anyway, good for her.
Yeah.
When's she due?
26th of October.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God, that's so soon.
Yeah, I know. I was like planning this baby shower like
so
soon.
That's so exciting.
I know. I'm so excited to be an auntie. So
great. Oh, auntie tour.
Auntie tour. I know.
That's so sweet.
I know. So exciting.
So exciting.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Let's chat TV. Anything to recommend? Anyone?
TV. What have I been watching? The Britney Spears documentary.
Oh, I need to watch this. It's
on
the
Netflix
one.
Yes, it is very good. I've been quite invested in the Free Britney movement just because it's so interesting. And obviously there have been quite a few documentaries already, but this one actually adds some new information that we didn't know about in terms of like the legal process and her conservatorship. So it's really worth a watch if you're following the
and
case.
And does she speak in it?
No, she doesn't.
Okay.
No. She hasn't spoken in any, actually.
No, she hasn't.
But yeah, it was really good, really interesting.
What is the premise? Is it talking heads about her?
Yes, and it interviews a lot of key people in her life, like some of her management, a few people in her family. So yeah, it was just really, really interesting. And yeah, I've got so much time for the Britney story.
the latest update is that he has he renounced his conservatorship, or he's been forced to renounce his conservatorship?
I think he's been removed. Mm. I'm not 100% like sure of all the technicalities. Yeah. It's been really complex, but he has been removed after the Free Britney movement, and she has basically got a new lawyer in place.
Okay.
Who's helped to facilitate that.
So somebody the other day, I can't remember where I was, and was talking about it with somebody who said, I can't help but feel that if, you know, multiple judges have ruled that she should be under this conservatorship, that there must be more to the story. And it's great that this Free Britney movement is in place. But, you know, realistically, a lot of people have, you know, people who really know what they're talking about have said that this, you know, this is how it should be. Is there any part of that within this documentary, or does it, do you still just feel even more like, oh my God, this is such an outrage?
Yes, an outrage, to be fair. Really? Because
But it sounds like it's only telling that side of the story.
I think it's a bit more balanced than the other ones, because it comes from more of like a legal point of view. But essentially, it just says that her family have profited from this conservatorship for like literally 13 years. Mm. And yeah, now it's up. So
yeah,
go Britney.
Oh, amazing. She does seem a little unstable on her Instagram.
I think she does. But I think obviously there's, you know, such a thing about like laughing about Britney and like her mental health. Mm. And actually, I think it's something that needs to be probably taken a little bit more seriously.
So agree. Yeah.
But yeah, sad for Britney. But as long as, you know, she's happy, healthy, doing her thing, ready for the next album, I'll be there at the tour. Can't wait.
Speaking of, I've been watching the Spice Girls documentary on Channel 4. Have you seen
this? Oh my God, that sounds so good.
It's so good. It's on every Tuesday night. I think I might have finished. I think last week might have been the last one. It's been like 4 or 5 weeks on a Tuesday at 9 o'clock, Channel 4. And it started with the first episode, maybe the first like one and a half, were about the rise of the Spice Girls, how huge they were, and then it's gone on to talk about what happened to them separately, and you know what happened as they.
And are each of them interviewed?
So they're not in it, but people who were very close to them were. So there's kind of the hairdresser who was with them throughout, the makeup artist, and then people from the management side. Okay. So the, you know, Pete Waterman's in it. So yeah, there's numerous kind of informed talking heads. And
do you think they give permission for that?
I don't know. No, I guess
I
not.
Doubt it.
I guess they don't own the rights to the footage that's used. And it's so interesting because a lot of it is about looking back at how the Spice Girls were treated by the media, by the press. Mm. And there's so much real-time footage, obviously, of them. They were being documented so much. And kind of similarly to Britney, the scrutiny and the sexism that they were subjected to by guys on set, there are the most outrageous clips of interviews with like Parky and Chris Evans, like all these guys who are still in the public eye, who ask them like the most outrageous questions. I won't ruin what the content is, but like it's a theme that they don't even like address. They do address it explicitly, but like it's so shocking. It's sort of part and parcel of telling their narrative. It's not even like look at how sexist the world was towards the Spice Girls, but like it's crazy the things that these like white male guys were allowed to ask these girls who were like 21, 22 is like disgusting. Like there's one scene on the Chris Evans Breakfast Show where I said I wasn't going to ruin it, but just like a flavor
a
of
teaser.
It. Yeah. A teaser where there are all these rumors that Victoria Beckham bounced back straight. She had Brooklyn. She was like 22, something like that. And Chris Evans is basically saying to her, you know, you look so skinny, you've lost so much weight, get on the scales, let's prove how much weight you've lost, and made her weigh herself on live TV.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's just like one story.
It's so weird, isn't it, how we very much watched TV back then and you don't really notice it changing like so gradually. But then when we go back to the type of things that were on then and what was said then, you know, even in the newspapers and in the like magazine covers, and you're like, oh my God, things have changed so much.
But I don't know about you guys, and I don't know if it's just because I'm more sensitive to it now than ever, but like I keep noticing these kind of everyday sexism things happening to me so much more than I ever did before.
Like, what? Mm-hmm.
Like the other day, so like we had this massive desk delivered. It's really, really heavy, and four guys had to come to try and move the desk to try and get it. It's on the first floor, to try and get it to the second floor, and Ben had popped out, and so I was there to receive these guys, and these guys like walked up to the top of the stairs, and it was they were basically like saying to each other, oh, so fucking stupid, as if it's gonna go up there, never gonna go up there, you know, as it basically like I was standing there, you know, silly woman thinks in what world everything could come up. Ben walks into the house, comes upstairs. By the time Ben leaves, they're making football jokes. All right, mate, well, you know, like, one mask, you know, lads, low, and Ben's quite laddie and kind of has all that chat. But I'm not joking, the tone, it was like the whole atmosphere in the house shifted as soon as Ben came. It had literally been like they were almost contemptuous, like stupid woman thinks this is ever going to go up the stairs. And then, you know, nothing was resolved when Ben came in. And then other things, we were at lunch with some boys the other day, and again, just boys that I'm not that friendly with, and some just little comments somebody made a stupid joke. Oh, Charlotte's supposed to be the blonde one here. I mean, really small
blonde,
things.
Yeah. Blonde jokes still really, really get me.
It really, I was actually, and I'm not joking. I mean, these, they're not bright boys. These, I am brighter than the three of them put together. Yeah. At this lunch. And it's really just actually really bloody insulting. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you sign up yourself or do you?
No, the first one would have been, what would I have said? Like, oh, obviously I got a bit sassy, but you know, I couldn't have said, actually, excuse me, there's a perceptible change and shift in tone. Yeah. In how I was speaking to my husband. No. And at the lunch, no, I was just like, oh, shut up. And also, I was like, oh, hey, or whatever. No, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
That's very, you know, you can't really call out people not that friendly with. I mean, I should. I don't know. Mm-hmm, anyway, monologue. But point being, I'm really noticing it these days.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's like the culture has changed or if everyone's just more aware of it now. But yeah, I agree. I was actually out for dinner with my boyfriend the other day. And
also, I didn't realize he had a boyfriend. This is so exciting.
Yes, drop boyfriend.
Yes, yes. It's a very new relationship, which is exciting. Aww.
That's exciting.
Yeah, but he's actually in Rome at the minute. He's sort of been there when you were there.
Side note, how did you meet?
So we actually met on a night out in Brixton.
Fun.
Which never happened.
That's so nice.
What a true success story for a night out.
But yeah, he's great. We went for dinner the other day and the guy like automatically gave him the wine list and was like, oh, will you try the wine? And I afterwards said to him, I was like, oh, the patriarchy strikes again.
Yeah.
And he was like, what do you mean? Like, it hadn't even occurred to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my God, that's so true.
Yeah. It's the same when you pay on card. And I find it really irritating when the waiter will just give the card machine to the guy. And often I'll be like, oh no, that's me. That really pisses me off.
Yeah, I so agree. I think that's it. The problem is that boys don't realize it and men don't notice it. So Ben was like, well, obviously he wasn't there for the like shift in tone from beforehand. But I was like, you don't understand. Because he thought, oh, what lovely jolly men who came to the house. And I was like, you don't understand how rude they were to me before you arrived. Like, I just think boys are so much less aware of it, aren't they? Yeah. We deviated there, didn't we? But anyway, maybe we should be speaking up more for it. Maybe I should be speaking up more.
Definitely.
We should. I always speak up. Do you get blonde comments? It's so bloody irritating,
isn't it? Yeah, I drive me fucking mad. I don't get them often, but that one happened the other day. You know what? I think it might have been when we were back in our flat and we were maybe in lockdown and Tim and I were working on that little table. And he didn't have his headphones on. Like he had one of his calls and I could hear it. And someone on that made a blonde joke.
Mm.
And when he finished the call, I was like, what he said was so not cool.
Yeah.
So it wasn't directed at me.
Yeah.
It was just a classic example of like someone just
being badgered about in the office.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Not good enough.
Not cool. Not cool. Well, that sounds like a good documentary that I want to watch.
Yes, anyway, Spice Girls, well worth a watch. Very fascinating about, as you say, so recently how different the world was. I need to watch Britney as well.
Mm. I'm on this kind of similar topic. I'm also watching the new series of The Morning Show that I'm watching.
Oh, no, I still haven't watched the first one.
I watched the first few and I didn't.
Didn't like it.
Yeah, I couldn't get into it.
Well,
how's the second season?
It's very good.
Oh, yeah?
The first couple of episodes were a bit like kind of bringing you up to speed and like a bit like filler. But now it's getting good. It's getting good. It's quite an easy watch, really.
Mm. That's good.
But I'm a big fan of Apple TV.
Oh, yeah. I need to watch more now.
I find it's all like, it's just shot really cool.
Yeah,
it's
very modern.
The
production's much higher.
Yeah, it's really slick. I think it's, and the picture's like really good.
They've got a good budget. Yeah. The other thing that I would like to watch is American Crime Story, the new Monica Lewinsky one with Bing Felsine. I really would like to watch that.
Oh, is that on Apple TV?
No, it's on Netflix.
Oh.
Yes. And Succession starts again on Monday.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm so excited.
Buzzing. Cannot wait. If you're listening and you haven't watched Succession, go and watch it.
You've got a week.
Turn off this podcast and go and watch it now. You haven't got a week. You've got 5 days because the podcast goes live on a Thursday.
Oh, shit.
You've got till Monday. So go on. You've got homework to do.
This isn't something I've watched, but I listened to How to Fail with Stanley Tucci.
Oh, me too.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I cried.
It was so wonderful.
Oh,
I am such a huge fan of his.
I talk about. Yeah.
And I'm sure it's not his movie highlight, but The Devil Wears Prada, I think he just is so fantastic in that.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely buzzing to see him in Supernova with Colin Firth.
Is that still not out?
No, I think it was, because we talked about this in the last podcast, and I think it must have been delayed. Anyway, it's coming out soon. But I had no idea that he was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago. He had a tumour under his tongue. Mm. And he's obviously a massive, massive foodie. And he basically couldn't eat solids for 3 years. He then had a tube.
And had no taste.
And everything that he then used to love, he then didn't like, and kind of all vice versa. And he had lost his first wife to cancer and just kind of didn't think it was then going to hit him. And then that did. And obviously, as we know, he's such a foodie and he's got these, you know, these amazing books. And he just said, like, the main thing was obviously the pleasure of eating, but the pleasure of enjoying eating and dining with friends, that was then completely gone. Anyway, it's just the way that he speaks is so eloquent and it's such an incredible story. And he talks a lot about, yeah, his failings with his first wife and what he wished he'd done better. And God, I listened on the plane and I was just in tears.
It's really good. And I felt she dealt with it really well. Yeah, like
so
she,
sensitive.
Yeah. I was really in awe of her when I finished listening to that. I was you're such a nice, great person.
Mm. Yeah, she just literally listened. So, I mean, I absolutely love that podcast.
And it was a particularly good one, I agree.
Makes people feel so at ease that they then open up, I think, so much with their emotions and their feelings. And yeah, and also I went back and I listened to one with Alexandra Burke from maybe it was
April. Yeah.
And again, like, she really, really breaks down in that podcast, and she talks about something, and she says at the time, I can't talk about what it is, but I filmed something for a week and it completely changed my life. Anyway, it transpires, I think that must have been SAS.
Yes.
And what that did for her, and having just watched that, it kind of all made sense. But yeah, both of those podcasts I highly recommend. But yeah, Stanley Tucci in particular, it's quite a hard listen, but it's really, really amazing.
Does he have his taste back now?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he said he'll never like fully be recovered, and it will kind of always slightly stay with him. I just had no idea.
Yeah, same. Gosh. I had no idea.
Wow. It makes me think, I mean, I don't know if he kept that secret from the public eye, did he?
Didn't he say this is the first time I've really spoken about
this?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, I think it was yesterday, but Olivier Roustang released a photograph of him a year ago. He was caught in a terrible house fire, and there were these images that he released, or this one image that he released yesterday, where he'd suffered like serious burns. He's in like a full cast, his arms are like this around his face. His face is really badly burned, and he said, oh, "This is the first, you know, I haven't spoken about this publicly. I'm releasing this image. Yeah. It's time to talk about it." But I just think, obviously, it's so good when celebrities start to talk about these things, and you'll then almost think, what, you know, it's a real shame they hide it in the first place, because what's the shame? There's no shame in being and I understand if they want to kind of battle these things in private and then talk about it, that's totally fair, but it's so great when they start to tell those stories. And
and I think then the strength they have to share their story and then show their vulnerability as a celebrity, I think sometimes you think these people are different types of people, and they don't go through these things. But when Stanley was talking, he was saying that, you know, basically once a week he gets a new story about someone he knows who is being touched by cancer, and it is just so scary how frequently it's not happening. But yeah, I think now he's obviously telling his story, but it's remarkable.
It reminds you that no one's life is perfect as well.
No,
exactly.
Let's change topics, talk about some questions. I always say this, we babble on for ages and then we only have time for quick fire, so we'll do them quick fire today. Somebody says, Lou, are logo belts over?
No, I think logo belts are back and better than ever, I would say.
Is there like a style you should go for? Should you be downsizing, upsizing? Like, what's the vibe this
personally,
year?
Personally, I prefer the slightly thinner styles, and maybe the ones that are slightly less of an obvious logo. I think like the Gucci one has kind of had its moment, but I think there's more kind of subtle, kind of if you know, you know type belts.
Like
Celine have got a really nice one. Saint Laurent have got a really nice new one. The Balenciaga one, the Bottega one, which is kind of like a triangle, which is cool.
Oh yeah, there's that. I was thinking of the like horseshoe one, but there's also the triangle.
Yeah. The triangle one's really nice. So I would definitely go black leather and gold hardware.
Nice. Sherry, best date ideas? Someone's asked. Where are you? Come on, you've got a new boyfriend. What's been a
date
good
ideas.
Date?
I think going to like a comedy club is really
that's
fun.
That's a good idea.
But just don't sit in the front row, because they will pick on you and ask you everything.
Who said to me, I can't remember who it was, but somebody went on a first date and the guy they were with didn't want to sit in the front row, and they're like, nish to him then, because they thought he couldn't take it. They didn't want the banter.
I love that.
So that's, you're the other side of that.
Yeah, I don't want to be involved. No, I don't like immersive theatre. It's not for me.
Fair enough. Any that you particularly recommend in London?
Top Secret Comedy Club in Covent Garden is really good.
I've been to that
one. Really cheap. I think you pay like £5, but it's all donations as well.
Oh, so you only pay what you think. And you have some quite big names. Maybe it's big names. I remember seeing Rob Beckett there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
and
cool.
Obviously, it's a secret, so you don't know who will be playing, so, well, performing.
Got you.
So it could be someone really like niche you've never heard before, or like someone like that who's like a really big name. I think that's a good. And the drinks are quite cheap as well. So fun all round.
Okay. Oh, fun.
That's a good one. And also, you can only leave a comedy club like happy. I feel like the foundations are set for like a good time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Agreed. Somebody's also said best girls' night out in London, please. Where do you go on a girls' night?
Oh, girls' night out. I think Brixton has so many cool places at the moment. Brixton Electric, obviously the O2.
The food is so good in Brixton too. Mm.
So good. But then there's like quite a few new places in Clapham that have opened. Oh, where's that pub
I went to a cool new like place called The Saxon the other day.
That's the one, the pub, the new
one. Yeah, that was like a 5-minute walk from my old flat.
Yeah, so nice.
It was really fun.
Really cool. And
what makes it fun?
It was just kind of very stylish interiors. It kind of reminded me like Soho House vibes.
Yeah, nice. Really nice. They've got DJs on the weekend.
Yeah,
well.
The DJ was really good. Yeah, just like a nice vibe.
Yeah, really fun.
Great. Tor, where do you go on a night out? A girls' night.
God,
night. All those nights out. Where do you go on a girls? If you're going out with your girlfriends, what do you do?
Go to someone's house and have dinner and have a nice dinner party. I haven't been like out for ages, actually.
Fair. Okay, good question here. My partner's parents want to meet mine. How do I make it non-awkward?
Go out for a meal that isn't at one of your houses to make it sure it's on neutral territory is my biggest tip. Because the minute it's at someone's house, it's just so awkward and you feel less judgy and
And I guess kind of go somewhere that's a bit more relaxed and a bit like buzzy.
Yes.
So like you can and, like, not like talk about other people, but like if it's quiet, I don't know, it doesn't really show.
Totally. And I think Saturday lunch is quite a chilled one.
Yeah.
Takes pressure off. Because then you can be like, oh, I've got to go, I've got plans in the afternoon.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah,
idea.
Not a dinner is like, it's too formal, it's too much pressure on a dinner, I think.
You also didn't meet properly until you got engaged, did they?
No, we had one meeting before, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
Yours knew each other.
Yeah, so my mum and my husband's mum get on really well. They actually once went speed dating together, which I think is
so cute.
Yeah, so that's really nice. But our dads, I don't think our dads have met yet. No, they haven't yet.
That's circumstantial though, I guess.
Yeah.
Sherry, how soon is too soon, do you think, to introduce your boyfriend's parents to yours?
Oh, I don't know, but I think they'll get on really well.
Okay.
Just from what I know, they've got a lot in common. They're both, our mums are both like music teachers. They're
That's
both
weird.
In a choir.
Yeah.
They're like, I think they've got a lot in common.
Cool.
Both live in East London. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to be best friends.
They sound like the same person.
I know, right? I was like, wow, I wonder if they know each
other. Are you related?
Oh God.
There's lots of work questions here. Somebody says that they've been at their job for 3 months and they're not loving it. There's a really difficult senior person on their team. Can we advise? What do you do if you're in a new job and you're regretting it or it doesn't feel like a good
move? That's what a probation period is for. Like I left with my probation at my last job
because
I just didn't like it. I knew it wasn't right. Listen to your gut. Like if you think you can see yourself at the company in the long term, work it out and stick with it. But if you've got a bad feeling, get out.
Yeah.
Get out.
Also, I'd say if prior to that you've been somewhere for a long time, don't worry about like a short stint on your CV. I think if on your CV you've got a lot of like 3 months here, 2 months there, 6 months here, whatever, I think that kind of raises alarm bells sometimes for an employer. But if you haven't had that, and also you can be honest about it. If you go to an interview, they ask you why, you can say, it wasn't for me. Or
yeah, exactly. We once had somebody come in and said I'm no longer at this place anymore. I should just tell you, it just really didn't work out. It really wasn't for me. And I actually really respected that.
Yeah,
totally.
So nice. Yeah.
Sherry, what would you do 3 months in? Would you try and redeem it in any way?
I personally would, because obviously if you applied for that job, you wanted it in the first place, hopefully. So maybe it's worth having a discussion with someone, not this person that you're not getting on with, someone else senior in the team you could chat to, maybe even discussing like changing like your role or who you'll be reporting to. I personally would stick it out a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think if there's only one person that's a problem, it's maybe a bit much. I mean,
depends on the problem is though.
You also need to have found another job in order to, like, to obviously you had another job here waiting for you, so not everybody can just walk away.
True.
Depends on your circumstances. Somebody says tips on the right way to resign if you've been at a company for 5+ years. You worked in a job for a very long time.
Yeah, and I had a really good relationship with my boss, and I think he kind of knew I had sort of reached the ceiling within my role, so was actually really happy for me and kind of let me fly the nest, which was nice. So I think if you've got a good relationship with your boss, you can just be honest. And yeah, I think, you know, you shouldn't feel ashamed of leaving.
No, agreed. I think it's about making it known that it's not personal, isn't
it? Definitely. Yeah.
And actually, even if it is personal, don't tell them.
What is that?
What is that?
A maturity thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Tell HR on your exit interview. Just be nice when you're handing your notice. Okay, let's move on from the topic of work. Oh, I love this question. Someone says, visiting London for 7 hours to see the Claridge's Christmas tree.
Where else
should I go? Food, etc.
Seven hours
in London.
That's tight. Okay, if they've got 7 hours, they want to be in that area.
Yeah, in and around
Mayfair. So like Green Park, Mayfair kind of area.
You've got to fit in a festive meal.
I mean, have a drink at Claridge's while you're there.
Have a drink at Claridge's. Go to a London institution. Go to the Woolsey or somewhere really London for lunch or for dinner, whatever meal
it is.
I
really like the Woolsey. I find it a bit like old man-y.
Yeah, but it's an institution.
I know, but I don't... Well, it probably depends what you're into.
Okay, go on then. Where would you go for lunch?
Oh, God.
Would you go somewhere trendier?
Yeah, probably. I'd probably go like Berners Tavern.
Okay. Oh, I love Berners Tavern. But those are foods very good.
Yeah. Really? I think it really... Yeah, it's so personal to what you like.
I would have a look around Fortnum and Mason.
Oh, yeah.
Just see like the festive
stuff.
Especially
at Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe have afternoon tea there if that's your thing. That's always quite nice.
Or you could go to, and I always get the number wrong. Is it 28 German Street?
45
German Street.
45
German Street.
Well, if you go to 43, you won't miss it.
You could try 43, they won't serve you food. But 45 German Street, which I think is the best. Go there for breakfast and then go to Portland and then go to Claridge's. That's lovely.
It's a great day out.
It's a great day.
Take a black cab everywhere.
Yes. Right, floosh.
You have 7 hours, you've got to see it all.
Maybe fit in a museum as well.
Oh, snooze.
What do you mean snooze? If you're just coming to London for the first...
I'm not into museums.
Oh, all right. Go shopping.
Yeah.
How vacuous.
Got the lantern eye.
That is boring.
I did that the other day, like
the lantern eye.
Three or four years ago.
It was so boring.
It was actually quite cool.
No, it's so slow.
I quite enjoyed it. It was a really nice day. And we did like a champagne one. And actually, it was kind of a little excursion.
You know where it is nice? Is there's like markets along the front.
Yeah,
of,
South Bank. Yeah.
I think that's what's nice.
A bit of a slap from Claridge's.
Yeah, you've got 7 hours.
Yeah, it's not very much time. Somebody has asked Strictly finalist predictions. Yes, to this question.
AJ?
100%.
Yeah, but she's almost like too good.
She is almost too good.
It's almost like, what's the story? What's the journey going to be?
I actually agree with that.
Like, I like someone who kind of like suddenly like breaks through and has a moment.
Like Bill Bailey last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Rose was also amazing.
Oh my God,
that Titanic routine.
Yeah, that was really good.
So do you watch it, Terry, by the way?
I do watch it religiously. However, I haven't seen it this year. I caught a little bit of the results show yesterday. So I saw like the worst two from the week. Yeah. But no, I'm yet to catch up. So I don't really know who anyone is yet.
Sorry for the spoilers.
No, it's fine.
But Rose and Giovanni did a dance and it's a slow dance. And she said that when they've been doing their fast dances, especially the Latin dances, up until now, that she's been like counting and everything and like watching his mouth and his face. And this one, because they, you know, when you're doing it in a ballroom hold, you turn your head away from...
You can't look at
your partner.
It,
and so they did the entire thing from her. For those who are listening and don't know, she's deaf. And she learned the entire thing by how his body feels and moves in the dance. And the idea that you could get that they did such a job.
Absolutely incredible.
By following how his body feels, it's incredible. Yeah. Also, side note, I would love to feel how Giovanni's body feels. Lucky
girl. It was so... obviously, it's like such an iconic piece of music. But like when we were watching it, everyone just stopped and just stared. And... I don't know, it was really emotional.
Yeah, they did it to My Heart Will Go On, but it wasn't sung. It was just
the
pianist. It was just a pianist, wasn't it? It was beautiful.
The other person who's amazing is Reese, who did the Spider-Man routine.
Spider-Man. He's
amazing. He's absolutely amazing. In the first week, I saw him and I didn't know who was the professional.
Yeah.
I was like, is it him or is it her?
Wow.
Yeah, cool. I was like, his hips are like...
Yeah,
yeah.
If you haven't
hips don't lie.
Terry, honestly, I'm going to send you a clip later. You're shocked.
Oh, please.
Is it John? Sorry, is John the name of the guy with him?
And then John.
John and Johannes. We should remember that. That's easy. Sensational.
Absolutely.
Tor's still talking to Jerry about the hips.
Oh, sorry.
She's like Michael Jackson.
I feel like
quite
Couples Choice is like my favourite one.
Yeah, but only when they're sick.
When they do Street. Yeah.
Because like Faye and Giovanni, I'll never forget that. That's my favourite dance in Strictly history.
Never forget that.
Do you remember that one with the plaits and they did the kind of, it was like a masquerade-y kind of thing.
Yeah,
with the white,
it was like February, wasn't it?
It was for Halloween. It was unreal.
It was for what?
Halloween.
What?
How do say I
say Halloween again?
Halloween.
Halloween.
You say it in a funny way.
Halloween.
You're saying it normally now.
Halloween. Whatever.
All Halloween.
Halloween. Whatever.
I think those three are the top. No, yeah. Those four are the top contenders.
Yeah, agreed. Those would be the fun.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, final question. God, we've been talking for ages. Sorry, final question. Sorry, back on London. Somebody has said the best hotel in London, both budget and both luxury. So if you, first of all, dream hotel. If you could stay at any hotel in London for a few nights, where do you think, where is the ultimate? Where's your dream? Lou?
I would love to stay at Claridge's. Mm. Again, it just feels like a London institution.
Yeah.
So I would love that.
It's about as British as it gets, yeah. Really, isn't it?
Really nice. Like the Dorchester, mm. ones like that. Like the Connaught. Mm. That's beautiful. Honestly, too many. The Londoner that's just opened.
The Londoner? Sick.
It looks so good.
Cool.
Really, oh, you think I do want to stay, which is kind of random, is the Henrietta Hotel.
Oh, yeah, it's really pretty.
It's supposed to be really nice.
Quite little.
Yeah. I remember my friend who worked Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and she used to live in London, and now she lives in LA. And she always said that was her favourite hotel in London.
Oh. Working at Mr. and Mrs. Smith must be the absolute
dream. It gets even better because they've now shut their LA office. So now she lives in on a beach in Mexico and works remotely. Her Instagram is a joke.
Oh my God, what a dream.
But that's what she review hotels for Mr. and Mrs. Smith is probably
She actually doesn't. That's not what she does.
Yeah, no. But like, if that was a
journalist,
job,
yeah. I mean, yeah, dreaming. You're winning.
But she always said that was her favourite hotel in London.
Okay, well, that's high praise.
They've got a fun bar downstairs. We did an event at Bash a couple of years ago. We went for a drink there afterwards.
Yes, so I actually really had a nice stinking cold and had a hot toddy, but it was very, I think that everybody else had fun.
It was quite a nice, cozy, you're in Covent Garden, but you don't feel like you're like stuck in the
room. Yes, exactly, which is nice.
For a similar vibe elsewhere in London, I've talked about it on the podcast before, I love the Zeta Townhouse in Marylebone. I think it's one of the best bar.
That was
so cozy, and if you're looking for something boutiquey, a bit different, quirky, very British, I absolutely love it there.
Nice.
There's lots of new ones as well, aren't there, Sherry?
Yeah, so sorry, my contribution there. Nice. So many new ones. Kings and Lock in Dalston, amazing. It's like an apart hotel, so you can stay in like a self-contained flat. That looks really cool. So many new ones in the last year.
Oh, they've popped up. Opened Beaverbrook Townhouse.
Yes. Also, and Henry's Townhouse as well, which looks, I think, it's Zeta kind of vibes. Really cozy, really cute. Mm-hmm. Also, the Nomad. I really need to go to the Nomad.
Oh my God, to the Atrium.
Yes.
But you said you wouldn't go there because it's in Covent Garden.
I know, but I've got breakfast in Covent Garden tomorrow, so I'm thinking I might just go and have a look.
Okay.
Have the
breakfast there.
Well, no. It's a press breakfast. It's like an organised breakfast. Like, it's not for me to rearrange.
Yeah.
I really want to go there.
Anywhere else to add on a budget, if you're coming to London, you're not going to stay at Claridge's.
I literally wrote a feature, the best budget hotels in, well, not budget.
Oh, well, there you go.
Affordable hotels in London. There's a whole feature on there. There's like 15 in there. And they're all £150 per night and less.
Oh, perfect. So, all right. Well, there you go.
Do you know what is really good for budget is Artist Residence.
Yes.
Yes.
In Pimlico.
In Pimlico. And also the Laslett in Notting Hill. Yes. It's like surprisingly affordable.
Yes.
Considering it's in Notting Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also quite nice to stay in a more localised area as well. Yeah. Neighbourhoody. I think that's really lovely.
My mum and I stayed at number 16 in South Kensington the night before our civil. And that was really lovely as well. Like a real like townhouse vibe. Mm. But beautiful interiors. And if you're coming up for the day, that's a nice little treat for yourself.
Oh, lovely.
No need to spend 7 hours here. Yeah. No, spend the night instead.
I just thought Mama Shoreditch Shoreditch is really cool. And they have karaoke bars in the hotel that you can hire.
What?
With your friends.
Oh.
Yeah, also great for a girls' night out.
So is it called Mama Shoreditch or Mama Shelter?
Sorry, Mama Shelter.
Mama Shelter.
Mama Shelter, sorry. In Shoreditch.
I stayed at the one in Paris, the one that's a bit further out, and it was so strange. Like in our room, we had like masks. It was like a Scooby-Doo mask and then another weird mask. And then the TV was like right opposite the bed, but it was kind of getting the pressure of like some weird kinky.
I was
going
to say it's
cosplay kind of situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
We haven't said it again since.
Well, I'd go for the karaoke, not Scooby Doo sex, personally. Definitely. All right, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you, as always, for your questions. You can find the question box on the Sheerlax Instagram stories every Sunday night. You can also email podcast@sheerlax.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.